Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories,
sweet memories.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
how
long once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious
years
of memories,
of memories.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I love.
With my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
graves
of memories,
memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I
long
once
more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Okay, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit so that he, Father, can do the preaching this afternoon and not me. Because, Father, it's not my word. It's not my opinion that counts as anything. It is what your word has to say to give us the guidance. And Father, we don't need to be walking in the flesh. We need to be walking in the Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit, Father, in order to be able to do that. Now be with us, Father, throughout the remainder of this service. Give us that guidance, the knowledge that we need. And bring to us the message you would have each of us to receive this night to help us, Father, along the way and to be able to walk not only in righteousness, but according to your will for us and our lives, in your way and in your word, bringing it to life. So that we can reach out, Father, and help others. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Had a little something different tonight I wanted to share, but I'm going to wait until we have a few more here in order to do so. And this morning we was in chapter 8 of Romans. McKinney left off with 9. And Dennis picked up with 10 and just did a summary. Well, summary was good. But I'm going to back up. And I'm going to pick up here where Kenny left off and take it verse by verse. Because there is so much more in it that you and I and all of mankind really needs to pay attention to, because we need so much more in our lives of God than what we have. Now, as I said, we're going to be in chapter 8, and I'm going to start here where Kenny left off with verse 9. And we'll see if we can get through the rest of chapter 8, but I won't bet on it. But we'll see what the Spirit has got for us. Kenny left off here with verse 9. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." He's pretty plain there. And as we've heard before, when we walk in the flesh, this flesh is weak. And it wants things of this world. We are living in a day and time to where when we get to wanting things of this world, it comes between us and God. And it will cause us to lose out on eternity with Him. And we'll wind up spreading hell wide open because of following the wants of the flesh. And He's also told us that we are to be in the Spirit. Here in verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." A lot of us, we're facing different types of sickness and diseases of all kind. And as most of you know, I've went through a couple of weeks now of facing a hard time. And not because I was out here committing sin, but because I was not spending as much time with the Lord and with His Word as I should have been because of things that really I let get between that I thought was important. But you see, I found out it wasn't really all that important. And I paid a price for it. Because let me tell you something. When we are weak in any way, there is a price to be paid for it. But I did find out one thing. Even though my God let me go so long through the sickness, this pleurisy and emphysema, He did let me know I wasn't going through it by myself. He was there with me. And He knows the pain that I have endured through the trip. But He also knows that a lot of things have changed with me, as I was telling them this morning. In about 7.5 hours there in the hospital, when I got a hold of the New Testament, I read through 2/3 of that New Testament. And I spent a lot more than just a few minutes in prayer. And I found out that I need to set times for prayer. And we all do. Especially those that are walking with any kind of sickness or disease. Set aside a time of the morning when you first get up. And don't say a 3, 4, 5 minute prayer. Spend some time, just you and the Lord God, with no other outside interferences. Just you and him. And be honest with him. Let him know what you are feeling and what you need. He already knows. But he says you have not because you ask not. Or you ask amiss. So go to him in truth. And go to him in faith. And go to him in love. Because you see, it takes that love of God and faith together, working together in order to accomplish anything that is missing in your life, that is keeping you away from him and his word. And after you spend time with him in prayer, and you get your saying done, then give him some time to speak to you. Don't just say, well, amen, jump up and run off. Because if you do, you're going to miss what he has had to say to you. And after you have given him some time to talk to you, and he will, then take your Bible and open it up to where you are going to be reading and ask him to speak to you through his word, giving you the truth and the depth of it. And he will. And let me tell you something that is helping. I heard this from another pastor. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try that. That's just what popped into my mind. And I figured it was the Spirit talking to me. And I'm going to try that. And I did. And if you read it kind of slowly like and out loud, you'll be surprised how the Spirit will talk to you. And the promises of God, you, with your faith, once you get that faith built to where it's supposed to be, and it becomes a working faith, he tells you that you can have whatever you ask of him. And I'm learning a good lesson about that. And I want to tell you something. It works. So when you've got sickness and disease, don't stay away from God's house. But make sure you are going to one to where you are going to hear the truth of God's word. Put your faith to work. Ask God for your healing. And with your trust in Him, believing and knowing it has been done, and you can know it because He said He would do it if you are His child. Now, you may not be at the point where you have actually reached being born again yet, but you are on the right road. You have went to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have asked for forgiveness. You've accepted your forgiveness. So you're on the right track. You just not quite have been born again yet. And He will hear you. And then He may give you that healing and see you born again at the same time. But if you don't know God's word, then you don't know what to ask for or how to ask for it. Because when you are asking God for something, you have got to ask with thanksgiving in your heart. Because if you don't believe He'll do it, then you don't need to ask for it. You've been wasting your time. If you need healing and you think about talking to God about it, then when you ask Him for it, believe He's done it. You may not feel it right then, but it will happen. It'll happen in His time because He knows when you are better equipped to accept it. But He will do it if you have went to Him in honesty, sincerity, and in truth. We don't need to walk around with all sickness. I had been walking many, many years without any sickness at all until this happened, and it happened not because I was going out and sinning, because it wasn't, but I wasn't spending enough time with Him and His word. And He let me face what Satan slipped in there to get me, to teach me a lesson. Well, let me tell you something, it worked. I've learned a whole lot. And it won't happen again, I'll tell you that. Because it sure wasn't enjoyable. Even though I knew He was with me. And He gave me the strength to go through it. And just as His word told me, once I go through it, I come out stronger than I have. I've come out with more knowledge. I've come out with more strength. And now I'm not going to be walking with sickness. We can walk. We don't have to have any sickness at all. So find out why you've got some. Find out why you've got yours. And then go to Him. Take it to Him. Give it to Him. But do it honestly. And then don't doubt. Don't let no doubt creep in. Because if you let doubt creep in, then you block His work. It's not that He wasn't doing it. You blocked it. You see, that's what He means when He tells you and I to walk in the Spirit. Now, if you think that don't work, if you want to, you can go with me over into John, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. And let's see what He has to say. about what you are capable of doing. So don't blame him. It's all on you. John chapter 14. I'm going to start here with verse 10 because I want everything kept in its place. Not make something different out of it than what it says. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Now we're going to come down to you and I and him in this 12th verse. Verily, verily, when you see that at the beginning of the sentence, pay attention, because that's really what he's telling you with those two words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that means everybody that really believes on him, that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the works that I do, shall he do also. He's telling you and I, if that we really believe on him, we can do those same works that he was doing. But he goes on even, and he says, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he tells you how to do it. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You can't get any plainer. That's getting just about right in your face with it, letting you know that if you are a child of God, born again, then you have been filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're walking in him. He's walking in you. The Holy Spirit is living in you, walking with you, bringing you everything you need to be that child of God. And you don't have to put up with anything from this world that Satan wants to bring to you and to give you. I don't care what it is. You don't have to walk with cancer. You don't have to walk with high blood pressure. You don't have to walk with high cholesterol. You don't have to walk with diabetes. You don't have to walk with heart trouble. You can give it all to him, and he can heal it all. So what is holding it? Find out. And then do what he tells you to do. Ask, and you shall receive. But you ask in faith. Nothing wavering. He says nothing wavering, because you'd be like a man tossed with the waves, tossed to and fro. And stay in God's word. Bring his word into your life so that you can bring it back out as living word. Because you see, that's what it is. It is word that will give you life, or it will give you death. If you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have life and you have it everlasting. If you walk with Satan, then you're going to walk with death, that separation from you and God. And Satan is out for one thing, and that's to destroy you, because he wants to take all of mankind to hell with him. He knows where he's going. He knows what his end's going to be. He knows this word. He knows God's word. When he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he tempt him with? He tempted him with the word. But he got answered back with the word too, didn't he? You see, that's what we've got to do. That's why we need the church. That's why we need to be in God's word. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to give us that guidance. And so, that when he comes to us with something, we can tell him, get away from me. You are barred from me. I banned you from me. Do it in Jesus' name. And he can't stand against that name. And as long as you believe it, he's got to go. And you're told that in God's word to resist him. And if you keep resisting him, he's got to flee. That's God's word. That's God's promise to you. So why aren't we seeing this today in the churches? We have seen some of it here in this church. And most of you that's listening to me right now, you know it. You know what I'm telling you is the truth. Because it was seen. It wasn't nothing hid. Now, in this next verse he says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth where? That dwelleth in you. Are you really allowing him to live in you? Are you allowing that spirit to live in you? Or have you put so much doubt and so much of this world inside that he can't live there? Because he will not live in a body that has got sin in it. Get rid of that sin. Get rid of that doubt. And put that belief in the Lord Jesus Christ in there, and the Holy Spirit then, he can come and live and give you the necessity for your life and lead you down the pathway that God wants you walking. Not what you want to do, but what he wants you to do. We can want a lot of things, but a lot of things we may want, and it may not be sinful things we want, but it still won't be right because it's not what God has got planned for you, and it won't be good as what God has got planned for you. You'll not walk with the blessings that you could have in your life by following the pathway that Christ has for you. You say, oh, Pastor, you sound like you're mad. No, I'm not mad. I'm just giving you the truth. Yes, I'm mad at Satan because he's out for just a couple of things, to seek those that he can deceive, that he can make sick, that he can destroy and cause to go with him to hell. That's what he's out for. So don't let him into your life. Take this Bible, and when you have finished your prayer of the morning, and especially of the night, before you go to bed, set aside a time to get back with God in prayer. And I'm not talking about 5 or 10 minutes, some time to spend with him and listen for him to talk to you. And then when you get into that Bible, read it out loud. Read it slowly. Read it as just like I read it when I'm teaching here to you. Because that's the way God will reveal things to you and let you have the understanding of what that verse really said. Now, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. You see, we're not debtors to that flesh, and we're not to live by the wants of that flesh. We're to live by the Spirit. 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You're going to be separated from God. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Those old things that Satan had you doing and wanting you to do, it says mortify them. You kill them. You walk away from them and leave them. You leave them with him. And then you live by the Spirit. And he says, you shall live. 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, are you a son of God? Are you really being led by the Spirit of Almighty God? Most are not, because they have spent so many years being deceived by these men that has been out here claiming to be Christians, claiming to be preachers, and they've been taking you down the wrong way and preaching things to you that are contrary to the word of Almighty God. So find you a church that will teach you the truth of God's word. Get in it. Make time. Make time for your church. Let me tell you something. God's always with you. If you are sincere, God will see that you are able to make time to spend with your church family. You see, God has gave you and I three homes. Think about that a minute. Well, I'm going to give you just a minute to think about that. He's gave you three homes. He's gave you a family home. He's gave you a church home. And he's gave you a heavenly home. If you will serve him, if you will walk with him, if you will spend your time with him, instead of spending your time in the ways of this world out here, and he'll see that every need you have will be given to you. If you need to change work in order to serve him in the right way, then change. Most usually, we can all. I've been down that road too. I went to work at a hospital. Well, when I went to work, they said, you've got to work on Sunday. We need you on Sunday. And we've got to have you in here on Wednesday. I told them, I said, well, I'll tell you this. If that's the only time that you want me to work, you've got a hold of the wrong man. Because I want Sunday and Wednesday off. That's my church days. I'll work any other day of the week and every other day of the week, but I want Sunday and Wednesday off. I went to work in that hospital. If you talk to them and let them know, I want to spend time with my church and my church family. They are important to me. Most any work will accommodate you because there's others that can switch with you that don't care. how or when they work. It can be done. Well, why are you telling me all this? Because I don't want to see you miss out on making heaven your home because you've let something of this world stand in your way that could have been taken care of. But if I don't tell you, then you don't know, do you? But you see, that's the way things work. And that's why we need each other. Now, what you do with what I share with you is between you and him. I can't make you do it. Sometimes I wish I could, but I can't, and I know that. It don't keep me from praying for you. It don't keep me from loving you, because I do. I do love you, and I continue praying for you that one day you'll get a hold of it enough to get things straightened out. Just like the story I was telling you about the young lady who come into church, wouldn't keep herself covered up, sitting right down in front row knowing that I could see a whole lot more of her than I should have been able to see. And I let her know it. She got up and left. I had the deacons of that church come to me, told me, you run her off. No, I didn't. The Holy Spirit did. But she come back the next week to church and went to the altar, and she truly, sincerely gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as I know, to this day, she is still in that church, living the kind of life that she should have been living all along. You see, if I hadn't have told her, she'd have kept right on doing what she was doing to everyone that would come into that church. And just like during that long revival I had up here, just a young man, just in the ministry, 2 weeks. And preached the last service about women in church. Because I'd never met the pastor of the church. I was invited there by one of the deacons to preach it. In the 30 days, I was to be there a week instead. I was there 30 days before I could get it closed out. And on the last night, I was preaching about women in church. And then I was asked by another preacher, have you met the pastor of this church? I said, no. Not even the deacon or a member that I know that's a member of this church. Well, come on, I'm going to introduce you to the pastor. Took me out and introduced me to one of the cutest little colored women you ever met. She was the pastor of that church, and I just told her, got through telling her she wasn't supposed to be there. And I'm 1,000 miles away from home and in a black church and the only white man there. God will put you in some situations. But you do what he tells you to do. Things will work. And when I got home a couple of weeks later, I got a letter from that young lady. She told me, she said, Pastor Tony, she said, I am no longer pastor of that church. She said, my fiance was my associate pastor. He is now the pastor. What if I'd said, well, Lord, you know, I can't preach that message because I don't know who the pastor is here. See what I'm talking about? You need to be following him. And let him lead you. Don't lead him. Let him lead you. And he'll give you the blessings, and he'll fulfill every need you have. He tells you he will. Now, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You're not under bondage anymore. You're not under that fear. If you are walking in the Spirit, and it is by the Spirit that we can call God our Father. Without that, we cannot do it. Because he'll let you know, I don't know you. 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of Almighty God. Oh, boy. How's he going to let me know something? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You will know for a certainty how you stand with God when you are walking in and with his word and doing what he calls upon you to do. This comes back to we don't lead him. He leads us. And he does it through talking to our hearts and through talking to you and I by his word. And I've told you one of the best ways to do that. Now it's between you and him. Now, 17, and if children, then heirs. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There's coming that time, he's coming back either for you and I individually, or he's coming for the church. And that's not too far away. And all that are really ready will go and meet him in the air, and we're going to stay with him for a few short years until this period of tribulation is over, and then he's coming back to this earth to set up his thousand-year millennial reign here on the earth, and he's going to be bringing us with him, and we're going to spend another 1,000 years on this earth, but it'll be with him. We'll be working with him. We'll be worshiping him. He will be our king. He'll be our king of kings and our Lord of lords. That's what I'm looking forward to. I can only speak for me. But I am not planning on letting anything of this world stand between him and me. No. 18, for I reckon that suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So let's come out of that corruption that is known as sin get straight and right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get filled with that Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Get born again and become His. And when we do, then we have that liberty, that glorious liberty of being the children of Almighty God. We are ones that He has justified and glorified. And we are able to receive all of His promises. But we receive them by faith, with no doubt. Don't let doubt creep in. By faith, we receive our repentance. By faith, we receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. By faith, we receive those gifts of the Spirit. By faith, we will receive our blessings from Almighty God. And by faith, we make heaven our home. Now, 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Listen to these words. 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. I read that slowly, like I've asked you to read it, for the purpose to see what God gave each of you out of that verse. I'm not going to tell you. I want you to see what God gave you out of it. Now, 24. For we are saved by what? Hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? You see, when we ask God to heal us, we can ask Him in prayer, Lord, you know what is wrong with me. I'm asking you, Lord, this pleurisy that I've got, Lord, heal it for me. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Praise the holy name of Jesus. It was His stripes He bore that gave me my healing, Lord. Thank you for it. You see, and then you believe in your heart that that healing has already taken place. There may not be one pain gone at that time, but you keep thanking Him for that healing and believing it's been done. And when it is gone, you won't even know when it left most of the time. There'll be a time you'll be sitting around just like I have. There's been a lot of times I've asked Him for healing that Satan had been bringing against me. And I wouldn't even know when it was gone. But I'd be sitting around and, you know, I'd say, I ain't got that no more. It's gone. That may be 2 or 3 days down the road. It may be 2 or 3 weeks. But I wouldn't even know when it left. But He had done it. You see, God don't work like we work. But, here 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You see, we got to wait sometimes. Sometimes he'll heal it right then when you ask him. And sometimes he won't, because he knows the best time for whatever he's going to give to you. 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you see, that's when we are praying in the Spirit. You say words you have no idea of what they are or what they even mean when you are speaking to God in that heavenly language and you are praying in the Spirit. And I know what I'm talking about, because you see, I do speak with tongues. I don't do it in public. I don't do it in the church. Because God said he'd rather I'd speak in church by prophesying. In other words, use an understandable language of the church I'm in. And if I'm speaking in a Spanish church, I'm to have an interpreter, because I don't speak Spanish. And if I just go there speaking English, they ain't going to understand me. Most of them won't. Some might, because they may speak English. But if I'm going there, I'm to have an interpreter with me. God wants everything done decently and in order. In 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who is making that intercessions for you and I now? The Spirit of Almighty God. Jesus made his. And then he went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit back to you and I. And the Spirit now making intercessions for us, for all the saints. And he does so according to what? The will of God. Don't let no man deceive you. No. Let no man deceive us. Stand on the word of Almighty God. I'm going to close here. We'll be picking up, because I am going to be going through Romans. Because as I told you all this morning, two of my favorite books is Romans and Hebrews. Because it's with them that we can know how to walk with our Lord, with Almighty God, our Father, and to receive his blessings and to be in his will and in his way, and not in the things of this world out here. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this evening, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father, that is guiding us today, that's interceding for us today, Father, that has given us knowledge and given us the equipment we need in order to be your children. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in this world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them all safe, keep them in health, and to see to their needs. And your word tells us, Father, to pray for Jerusalem and Israel for peace for them. And we do. Because, Father, we know they're having very little peace in that land now. Rockets coming in every day somewhere in that land, tearing up buildings, putting people out of homes, killing people. But Father, even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, a land that had no excuse whatsoever, brought so much evil against its own people. And the churches, Father, has let in so much of Satan's ways instead of your ways. We pray, Father, that the walls be torn down of these churches, that they will all come together in unity with one mind and one accord, and that being in the Lord's church. And let us pray together, pray for this land to repent of the evil it has brought upon its own people, so that our land, Father, can be healed. But most of all, Father, I'm praying for all these churches. I'm lifting them up and asking, Holy Spirit, work with us, work with them to bring about the unity in the will and the way of Almighty God and in His Word, that they will all once again stand together preaching the Word of Almighty God as it should be preached. And Father, this prayer list of ours tonight, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one to bring about the infilling, indwelling of whatever spirit they have. Kenny Powers, Father, you know his need. We are praying for his need, Father. He stands in need of healing of arthritis and sugar diabetes. Father, touch him. Touch him in a mighty and great way. And let him be a witness to the power of Almighty God in his life. And Father, Mark Pavlik, walk with Mark. Father, make of him a man of God. Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob. Father, I pray for all three of them. Use them, Father. Use them in your will and your way. And Terry Coates, Father, you know Terry's needs. You know what, Father, his problems are. Touch Terry. Heal him. Bring about that is needed, Father, in his life, so that he can do more work for you and the church, Father. Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, are brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father. These brothers come from different walks of life. Let them work to bring down those walls, Father, so that we all can come together. Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses in the community in which they stand and fill them with the Holy Spirit, Father. These pastors that is over them, fill them to overflowing, Father. Change them into being your men, complete with that infilling and dwelling of thy Spirit to hold these churches on the pathway of righteousness that Satan cannot get in to cause problems any longer. Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, I pray for it. And I pray, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge. Put a man in there, Father, that will fill that church with the Holy Spirit, so that it can be that place of refuge to where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. And my three pastor friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, Father, work with these men. Keep them safe. Keep them in health. And Father, continue to use them in a great and mighty way. Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Monville and her mother, pursuing David, Palance Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them, Father. Touch them in mighty and great ways to where they know that that healing has come from you and not from man. Now, Father, for my wife and myself, we also, Father, I thank you for my healing that has been given to me. And Father, I'm thanking you for keeping her safe. Now, Father, she needs healing. And I'm going to thank you now, Father, for the healing power of Jesus to be with her. That one day, Father, I can bring her home to be with me. You gave her to me in the beginning, Father. Now I'm asking for her back, to stand by me and to help me, Father, to stand with you and to stand with your church, to preach your gospel. Now, Father, be with us all. Keep us all safe, Father, through this week. Bring us back together Thursday. And once again, we can be together in friendship and as a family and sharing your word, not only here in this church, but around the world, Father. And we give you thanks for this. In Jesus' sweet, precious name, amen. All right, everyone. Remember, 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock Thursday evening, we can all be together again. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Good night, all, and God bless.